This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaandersson.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The winds of change are blowing through Raider Nation, and Silver and Black Today keeps you up to date with the latest news and views about your Las Vegas Raiders.
Touchdown, Las Vegas!
With insight, opinions, and interviews, we're on the cutting edge of what's happening now. Now. The latest on your Raiders and the NFL. Your host, Scott Gulbranson and Mo Moten.
Welcome back, Silver and Black. Today, the Thursday edition. Scott Gulbranson from the NFL Combine, along with my partner, Mo Moten. Make sure you follow Mo. He's the senior NFL writer up on Bleacher Report. Also, you can follow him on X.com at Mo Moten, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. I am at LV Gully, and the show is SND Today. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your audio. Okay, Mo, so we're starting to get all of this information and start to hear things about the free agency. We talked a little bit about running back. We talked about the fact that Josh Jacobs is somebody that they feel like they want to make a priority. At least that's what Tom Telesco said. You look at the free agent news out there, big news on Chris Jones with Kansas City. A lot of Raider fans clearly would like to see him in the middle of the Raiders defense. But, you know, every time a big name is mentioned, you have to think about the trade-offs. When you look at that pool and you start to see some of these names popping out there, what caught your eye in the last few days when it comes to free agency and possibilities for Las Vegas?
Well, there are names still entering the free agent market because teams, yep, you know, are releasing players or telling players that they intend to cut them before the new league year. But for me, when I wrote the Bleacher Report article, basically ranked all the positions in free agency, I think it's imperative that the Raiders look at some offensive tackles in the draft because, again, the offensive tackle position in free agency isn't that deep. There's Michael Owenu, who I really like, who's played with the Patriots. Trent Brown is going to be a top name. We've already went down the Trent Brown road with the Raiders. But there's not much in terms of depth there. So this is why I said on X Tuesday that I think if it's not a quarterback for the Raiders at 13, I think it's going to be an offensive lineman, specifically a tackle who's going to play on the right side opposite Colton Miller. What I will say, I think there's a strong possibility that the Raiders dress the cornerback position in free agency, and a lot of fans want to see Jarius Sneed play for the Raiders, but apparently that may not happen because the Chiefs are going to push to keep him as well as Chris Jones. We'll see if they're able to keep them both. We don't know. But I think the Raiders are going to address the cornerback position in free agency because there is a little more depth at cornerback, in my opinion, than there is at offensive tackle and interior offensive line. So two positions that I would look at for the Raiders in free agency. Tom Telesco did say on Tuesday that because it's a first-year staff, he's going to have to lean on free agency a little bit more than he's accustomed to. So just pay attention to those words. I know, as I said, GMs don't really say much, give you much, but that stood out to me that the Raiders are going to be very active in free agency. It may not be big contracts, but they may have some value in there where they're just filling some spots because there are new staff coming in.
Yeah, and we'll get into a little more detail in the next episode or so talking about that cornerback free agent market. It's huge. There's a lot of good names out there that I think are available. And to your point, I think the Raiders are definitely leading them in. And we go back to the top of the draft, depending what happens at the top of the draft. If they don't get a quarterback and they go offensive lineman, do they go quarterback second round or do they go cornerback second round? There's all sorts of scenarios there. But I agree on that. I mean, the fact that they can go into free agency and address most of those positions, like you said, some of them you can't. Defensive tackle has not been a position that they've drafted well. That was a different regime, so I'm not going to blame the guys that are there now. So we can't go on past performance because it wouldn't be indicative of what Tom Telesco's done. What he did in Los Angeles, you can get a little sense there. And he had some good players that he drafted, obviously, clearly in L.A., but he's always been a guy who's willing to add a player from the outside, and they'll have to do that. Also, for your buddies in New York, we heard Tom Telesco also shoot down the Davante Adams trade rumors, and they weren't even rumors. They were just wishful thinking by some New York media and some folks
in
the fan groups. But listen, you know, they're not looking to trade him. If he wanted to be traded, different story. And who knows? That could happen if he's not happy with what the Raiders do in the offseason. Who knows? But I don't think so. Clearly, we know, though, from what Tom Telesco said here at the Combine, he ain't going anywhere.
That was the one thing he was really direct about, right, Scott? Yes. And there's a lot of GM speak, but he clearly said, we're not interested in trading Davante Adams, and it didn't take a grand wizard to figure that out.
Right.
Fighting this battle with Jets fans for probably 3-4 months. Shout out to my boy. Shout out to my guy, Boy Green. He's a friend of mine. We do it in jest, but there were some Jet fans who were really believing Davante Adams is going to be in Green's next season. Yeah. And I'm like, pause, pump the brakes a bit. Let's remember that Davante Adams is one of the biggest supporters to keep Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce retains his job, removes the interim label. On top of that, he's a leader in the locker room. On top of that, he's still one of the best wide receivers in the league. And on top of that, I've been saying this since December. Look at Bryce Young and what's going on in Carolina. Carolina Panthers moved up for Bryce Young, but they gave up their top wide receiver to get him. And now people are thinking Bryce Young is a bust, but what did he have around him? His best wide receiver was 33-year-old Adam Thielen. You don't want to go down that road with a rookie quarterback. You want to have a go-to pass catcher if you're going to have a rookie quarterback or even just an experienced quarterback under center. You want to have your best playmaker there. And I think I've been shooting down these rumors. I know I can't do it officially because I'm not part of the Raiders, but I've been saying all along it never made any sense for the Raiders, Davante Adams. And I'm glad Tom Telesco finally came out and said, we're not trading Davante Adams, which I was like, duh, why would they? It doesn't make sense.
Well, Mo, in addition to his obvious talent and what he means to the Raiders offense from that perspective, remember, too, they're uncertain about Josh Jacobs. If he comes back, great. If he doesn't, fine, whatever. But Davante Adams also a huge leader. He is, you know, especially if Jacobs was gone, they're both good leaders in the locker room. But if you lose one of them and then you go out and get a young quarterback, and even if Aiden O'Connell won the job, he's still young. And so you need that veteran leadership in that offensive locker room and in that huddle. And that's what Davante Adams brings to. I think that's what people forget. I mean, ESPN even did a mock draft where they had him trading and then the Raiders drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm like, what that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, just because of money. And it's like, clearly you're not watching and seeing what the salary cap situation is for the Raiders, recently helped by Jimmy Garoppolo's desire to take the wrong meds. So I think that you look at that situation and you say, okay, you know, there's we can put this one to bed and not worry about it. We've heard it the last 2 years. And of course, Davante last year was a little more vocal about some of the things he wasn't necessarily excited about. That was a different coach, different GM. It seems like he's in a really good place now.
Right, and I think that's part of it is the people who were projecting Davante Adams to be traded on the outside as far as like media outlets. I don't think they were following the Raiders very closely or what Davante Adams, his mood has been since Antonio Pierce took over. Now, if Daniels was still the head coach, I would say, yeah, there's a possibility Davante Adams could be traded because he may not be happy.
Yeah.
But once the Raiders hired Antonio Pierce, brought in Luke Getsy, who worked with Davante Adams in Green Bay, I felt like it was not a foregone conclusion, but I think it was more likely that there's no way they trade him and get rid of a big portion of their leadership, their best wide receiver. And oh, by the way, it's not really financially advantageous for the Raiders to trade Davante Adams right now because they're going to get a significant amount of dead cap money that they would have to hold on to.
Exactly. So We'll see how that all nets out as far as if it quiets down now. Although the Raiders making news again, primarily because there are some outlets who are not very positive about the Raiders, whether it's the coaching situation, whether it's the player situation, whether it's where they sit in the draft. I think that people know that Raiders content gets people fired up. So for all of you out there, Raider Nation, you're responding to it. And so they keep doing it. And we're seeing that too. And of course, you know, look, I look at it from this perspective. I mean, the Raiders are a really intriguing team because they seem to be close to that playoff push that they could get in the playoffs. They won 8 games last year after a horrific start. So you look at that and you say, okay, there's something to like there. But then again, the big question mark at quarterback, that's a tough one. I think people are looking at that. And until they see an answer, it's going to be hard to see some more, I think, positivity come out of the folks that report on the league until they see what the Raiders are doing and see what Tom Telesco does, right? You got a free agency's coming in the next couple of weeks. So all of these moves, then you'll get a better sense for where things are going. And I think people will do. Not that it matters all that much, but I explain that more so people understand why there's negativity because of obviously the history.
So Tom Telesco was very complimentary of Aiden O'Connell, praised him for taking over and basically leading an offense with a new offensive play caller after a coach in the middle of the season. Played well in the last leg of the year, was part of that blowout against Tom Telesco's former Chargers team. And so he had a front row seat, or he was able to see how well Aiden O'Connell was able to recover and finish the season strong. So he's very, you know, he praised him, but you could kind of tell that the Raiders know that they still need, at least, at the very least, Aiden O'Connell needs viable competition for that starting job. They're not going to hand the starting job to Aiden O'Connell. They have to find some answers or some possible other solutions at the quarterback position. And that goes to your point that why people are still skeptical about whether the Raiders can take the jump, because it is a quarterback league. You can have a great offensive line. You can have this all-star run, this Pro Bowl running back, this all-pro wide receiver. But if your quarterback cannot consistently get your football team down the field, you're going to, for the most part, you'd be stuck in mediocrity. And I'm not saying that's Aiden O'Connell, but you have to have multiple options just to challenge him to make sure that there's some growth in the offseason for him.
Correct. And I think that you look at it, and I know some people on our chat board have been sort of like, well, why are you guys so against Aiden O'Connell? It's not we're against Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell's a good kid. He's a good backup quarterback. But I think talking to people here who are in scouting, talking to people who cover the league, who have much more football background than I do, all have the same view. That does not mean that you have to like it, but I think it's they understand the limitations. It's not that he's not a good kid, good quarterback. It's just he has his limitations, and that will limit your team. If you had the offensive line from the New England Patriots during their reign, okay, then maybe you get a little, but even then the league has changed so much. You still got to win from the pocket, Mo, but you have to be able to move and create from the pocket too. And if the Raiders can't do that, it doesn't matter who's at wide receiver. It doesn't matter who's at running back. If you can't do that, and again, I'm getting in discussions with people and they're saying, well, we don't necessarily have to get a quarterback in the first round. And I said, well, if you look at the playoffs this year, the NFL playoffs, all but one of those quarterbacks was taken in the first round. We hear a lot about how, well, it's never a guarantee. 60% of them don't make it, or 60% make 40. But I look at the playoffs this year, and all but one of them was a first round draft pick. I'm not saying in the top three, like Mahomes was a number 10 pick, but they're all first round quarterbacks. The NFL knows, and being around the folks here from teams around the league, everybody says the same thing. So whether you agree or not, that's the prevailing thought.
Well, Scott, what is the hit rate on quarterbacks in the second round? It's not as good as hit rates in the quarterbacks in the first round. So if you're bristling over, well, quarterbacks, this percentage don't make it when you trade up or when you draft them in the first round or top 10, what is the hit rate of quarterbacks drafted in the second round that lead their team to the playoffs? I mean, you can mention Jalen Hurts. Derek Carr became a starter for the Raiders but didn't win a playoff game. But how many other second, third round guys are winning Super Bowls? Russell Wilson comes to mind, but compare that to the number of first round guys who get their team to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. The numbers are overwhelmingly leaning to first rounders.
Right. And that's why I use that number from the playoffs this year, because you can't argue with that. I mean, look who's there, right? Again, they don't always win in the playoffs. They don't always win a Super Bowl. But then, you know, for the people who say, yeah, but Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round. It's like, yes, but how many six round quarterbacks won a Super Bowl? None, except for him. So there you go. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's another one. Somebody will tell me if I am. But I think that you have to look at that. And this is why, again, the Raiders, with the needs they have, that's the first thing they need to address. And I will respectfully tell you you're wrong if you say anything else, because that's how you win in the NFL. You need everything else, Mo, right? It's not that they don't need to build the roster, but you can trade up, give away, or I should say give up capital to get that quarterback, let's say to get up to number three. That does not mean you can't fill those other spots, i.e. like you talked about, via free agency or through the draft as well.
What I will say is that, and I want to be clear when I say this, if Aiden O'Connell, he deserves to be in competition for the starting job. If he wins the starting job, so be it. That means that he's made, you know, great leaps during the offseason and improvements over time, and he could start.
Right.
But I'm not handing him the starting job is my point, because I think people are misconstruing that we don't think Aiden O'Connell will be anything other than a backup ever. And I think right now he's a backup caliber quarterback. But he hasn't done enough to prove that he's a surefire starter franchise guy yet. And until you find that franchise guy, you bring in competition to have the best quarterback win the job and start week one of the season.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Right. And when I talk about that, a lot of folks are always like, well, he didn't throw an interception his last four games. Doesn't matter. If you watch the numbers and you watch the film and what he did, you can do whatever you want with him. I can make cases for him and cases against him. But to your point, I think that he gets the opportunity to go in and try to earn the job. And you want that. Just like every position, you want competition. And at quarterback, especially because it's the most important position on the field. So he'll be in the mix there. And then whoever the other two quarterbacks, because they will have to bring in two other quarterbacks, will be that'll do. And to your point, if the coaching staff believes, if Luke Getsy, if Antonio Pierce believe that he's the best quarterback they have heading into the season, then he'll start. If he's not, then it'll be somebody else. So that's what they get paid for. We don't get paid to do that. We get to pontificate about it. But at the end of the day, they get to make the choice. And thank God for that, because they know more about football than we do. So
Scott, really quick. I'm not trying to poke holes in Aiden O'Connell's performance, but I hear a lot of people say, well, he had about, you know, 8 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions the last 4 games. In 2 of those 4 games, he didn't complete 60% of his passes, though.
Correct.
If you're gonna point out his stats, tell the whole story, give the whole context of his numbers, not just the numbers that support your argument.
Right. And we go back to the game where the Chiefs game where he didn't have a completion after the first quarter, right? And so that's a big deal in the NFL. Like you yes, people have bad games. Don't get me wrong. But when you're a rookie and you're trying to earn a position and you're looking for your quarterback of the future from a franchise perspective, those are red flags. And when you see those things happen, you have to take them and consider them as you move forward. So that's where they're at. But we'll see at the quarterback position what happens, Mo, because that's going to be until we figure out what's going to draft. Now, they could if they go out and they sign a free agent, if they go get a Gardner Minshew or somebody like that, then we'll have a little bit of our answer early. And then we'll start to say, well, if they went out, because I still think if they do that, Mo, if they brought him in, unless it was a Russell Wilson, which I still don't think is going to happen. But if it's somebody like Minshew or Brissett or somebody like that, that doesn't tell me that they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. In fact, it almost confirms it, versus if they were going to go get a frontline starter like a Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying they're going to pay for that. But if they did that, then you're like, well, wait a minute. Now they're not focused on the young quarterback. They're focused on a guy who's going to come in and do it right away. So I think that we'll know more about their plan, but we won't know about the draft until that day.
Right, and I agree with you. If it's Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson, those guys expect to be stars wherever they go. So you're probably rolling with one of those two guys for at least one, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then you're, I don't want to say kicking the quarterback can down the road when it comes to the draft, but you're not as worried about the position, before those guys are signing. Now, if they go, as you said, with Brissett, then you're probably like, okay, this is definitely a bridge gap guy. He's not the he's not going to be the franchise guy. No, he's going to compete with Aiden O'Connell, but the Raiders will probably then draft a rookie to then compete with whoever they sign as a bridge gap and Aiden O'Connell. And as I said a few minutes ago, may the best quarterback win a quarterback battle at training camp.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk more about quarterbacks next week. We're going to bring Chrissy Freud back on. We'll get her impressions of the quarterbacks that did throw and work out here at the Combine and see if any of them pop, and it'll be good discussion for us. But the quarterback conversation is going to go on. We'll see how it all unwraps. But we're going to wrap up this show early today because Mo and I both have Combine work to do. But we will get back to you, and we will do mailbag next week. So if you called in this week, from the calls that I saw, they pretty much can carry over. So we'll get you on next week. We'll have a longer segment there, or maybe even two, depending how you guys get excited about that stuff. So we'll see what goes on there. But Mo, I know you're covering the Combine for Bleacher Report, as I am as well. What do you got coming the rest of the week that you need to tell folks about?
Biggest draft questions before the workouts start Thursday. So while the guys are at the podium now, the workouts on the field televised to everyone won't start until Thursday. I'll have the biggest draft questions that teams are still wrestling with, that they may still be coming to terms with, or deciding factors, moving around their draft boards. I'll say, okay, this team, what's the biggest question here? And what are the possible solutions? What do I think the Bears are going to do? Are the Raiders really going to move up for a quarterback in the draft? I'll have my opinions on that. What will the Chargers do? I know this is a Raider podcast, but it's important to keep tabs on the enemy as well and figure out, okay, where are the Chargers headed with their new regime, with Jim Harbaugh leading the way over there as the head coach of that squad?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Division two. I spent part of yesterday listening to Sean Payton from the Broncos, who, boy, I got to tell you, man, there's definitely some self-love going on there. He really thinks highly of himself. I'll put it that way. It kind of drips off. It's pretty remarkable. I had our good friend Benjamin Albright from KOA was there. Finally got to meet him in person. And we were talking about that too, because he told me last year, what it was like to interact with Coach, and certainly was on. But the amazing thing was, Mo, I couldn't believe it. He should run for Senate, because there was a question about quarterback, of course, because the whole Russell Wilson thing. And everybody knows they're going to release Russell Wilson unless somebody will trade for him, which is highly doubtful. But nonetheless, and so he gave a 4.5-minute answer. Now, these sessions are about 10 to 15 minutes long for all the questions for these coaches and GMs. He went on 4.5 minutes talking about quarterbacks and weaving into how quarterbacks and their size matter. It was basically like Russell Wilson's too small. I mean, that's what I was taking away from it. It was so crazy. But he filibustered. So it was remarkable to see all that kind of stuff going on. But we'll bring you more from the Combine next week. I'll bring you some of my insights and what else we're able to find out here. But we'll be back early next week with that. And then we'll start to talk about free agency. Might even hear about some moves. There's a lot of deals that happen here at the Combine. And then once you get out of the Combine, they start leaking out, even though they can't become official until the 14th. So we'll bring you all of that very soon. Mo, enjoy covering the rest of the Combine. And I will enjoy walking down the hallways and people asking me, where's Mo? Where's Mo? Where's Mo? Where's Mo?
the modern version of where's Waldo. Now, all of a sudden, yes. give everyone my best wishes and hellos to the people that you bump into. Knows who you might see there at the Combine. I'm sure you've told me on text how many people you've run into already. Yep. So again, a lot of people looking for me out there. Never know when you might bump into me. I will say that, but I am not at the Combine.
I know. And I told our friend Q Myers, I said, if Mo had only been here, we could walk around as the Raider Oreo, like you on one side, him on the other side.
Oh, my goodness.
And me in the middle. I mean, hey, I try to keep it light. A lot of serious business going on here with this football.
Scott, right, I have everyone. A friend. Yeah. By the way, Scott, I have a friend in Indiana who says if if you are interested in donating blood, stop by the blood drive out there and donate blood because people need it. I was told to give that message.
Blood drive. Okay. So your friend in Indianapolis, where is the blood drive? Is it near where I'm at? Like I can go give my blood?
I have to find out where she is right now, but she, you know, different every day. She's in a different area.
Okay.
In Indiana. And I think she was not far from you on Tuesday. So she was like, tell them to come by and donate some blood. We need some.
As long as she gives me a glass of orange juice and a cookie, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know how they do that when you get blood, right?
Right.
It'll be fun. So, but yeah, no, absolutely. Maybe I'll go down there into the combine workout room and just get a bunch of those big dudes. Hey, you guys have more blood, don't you? Have a lot of blood. You know what? You can get blood before your workout. It won't hamper your workout at all.
Oh, I'll man. Find out her whereabouts and pass that along. Pass that information along to you.
That sounds good. I appreciate it, my friend. Take care of yourself. All right, everybody. From the Combine, this is Scott Colbranson, of course, Silver and Black today. Want to thank Mo for putting up with me because I was late in us getting this episode recorded because of some assignments we had. But we appreciate you guys all being with us. A little bit different format than usual. But that's what happens when you're on location. And I don't even know, like this internet is holding up, thank goodness, but we don't know. But we appreciate it. We also appreciate our producer, Mike Robbie, and everybody at Odyssey Sports for being there, and appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio. And if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button plus the notifications bell and that thumbs up. We appreciate it. For Mo, I'm Scott, and we will talk to you next week here on Silver and Black Today. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.